you're having an outstanding day, and I'm glad you're listening to Selling to Schools Radio. My name is Glenn McCandless. I'm your host for this program, and over 15 years ago, I created SellingToSchools.com to provide the very best advice to anyone who is marketing and selling educational products and services to the schools. Since then, I've added this radio program, which is now 4 years old, and I also added the STS LinkedIn group about 3 years ago. So now you can read, you can listen, and you can discuss how to improve your sales to K-12 schools. These are proven strategies and practical tips to get the best results you can imagine. And amazingly, it's all free. So now, get ready for part two of our 2015 and 16 school funding alert with school money expert Dr. Jenny House. There are a few people on this planet who understand how schools can pay for your products and services better than Jenny. She's the president of Red Rock Reports, and she advises companies and school districts on how to tap into funds to purchase what they need to make their schools better. And so with that brief introduction, let's get right to it. Jenny, welcome back to part two of our funding series for 2015 and 16, looking at what's going on. For those of you in the audience who didn't attend part one, I'm just going to start by saying, Jenny, thanks for being back on the show and talking about this important topic.
It's wonderful to be back. Absolutely. One of my favorite things to talk about.
I know it is, and you're the best. So for those of you who are listening that didn't hear part one, I would encourage you to listen to part one because Jenny and I talked about some of the big changes that are going on and the context of this discussion about funding. And we talked about the politics and what's happening with the change in the administration and the reauthorization of the ESEA, which has been going on for as long as we can practically think about. So some of the big macro things you really need to know about so that you understand what we're going to talk about during this program, which is some of the more specific things, particularly for the audience that tends to listen to this program, which is people selling technology products and services. And I think that's probably just about everybody these days. So Jenny, let's talk about educational technology. It's always been one of those areas that, you know, for years we had specific earmarked funding for technology, and then that sort of went away, and Arne Duncan said, well, anything can be used for technology. And so what's going on with that? Let's talk about technology funding and what's going on. Are there any new things that people need to be aware of?
Good question. So because of the need for technology from the many districts across the country to do these online assessments, the federal government revisited single source or special money just for technology. So there are $200 million that have been allocated just for technology. So it's kind of like the old E2T2 Title II Part D that used to fund technology. But that was a lot more. It got up to $1 billion. So $200 million, when you think of all the schools, is not that much. But it is some. The big thing when Karen Cater was in charge of technology in the department that they did is the language in the title programs of ESEA, or No Child Left Behind, have specific language to say that the money can be used for technology if something is bought for student achievement or teacher quality and it needs technology to be able to use it, you can buy the hardware with it. So a lot of Title I money is used, a lot of special ed money is used. Title III, which is for languages, English language acquisition, or the immigrants to help them get assimilated into the schools, all the way through the homeless money, all of it can be used to buy technology. And all of those can be used to buy digital software and services, as long as it's doing one or the other or both, improving student achievement or teacher quality. And the improving student achievement should be tied to the standards and to career and college readiness.
Well, that sounds pretty flexible. And I know that there's people sitting out there right now that are thinking, so Jenny, what about E-rate? I mean, that thing was floating around. And for years, you know, we wanted to be able to let schools buy software products, and there were all these limitations and strings attached. It sounds like there's not that many strings attached to some of the funding that's out there, even though it's not a lot of funding.
Right.
It sounds like there's some flexibility about how it can be allocated, and that there wouldn't be a lot of categories of products and services that our listeners are selling that wouldn't fit in some way, shape, or form. But I also have to think about E-Rate, because E-Rate, as we all know, well, I think we all know, was originally for the build-out of the broadband into the school, so
right.
that schools would have internet access. And we believe, for the most part, that initial build-out is completed. Probably the speeds of it is still a little weak. But what's going on with E-Rate that people might need to know about?
So the biggest change in E-Rate is that there's $1 billion for Wi-Fi. Remember, it was the big pipe that the money was used for before. But now Wi-Fi is included. VoIP and telephone, that is not included anymore. They've also really come down on the internet providers to cap the costs, because, you know, a lot of people were using everything for Tier 1. It was pay for the internet, and then there was nothing left for anything else. So the money still can be used for broadband, because what they found with delivering the online assessments, the speed that most schools had was too slow. If you put the whole district on a test one day, no way. We were laughing. We said if they did all of LA unified, the state of California would come down. So
a blackout.
Yeah, so it's still being used for that. It cannot be used for professional development. That was one thing people were trying to get. They were also trying to get, you know, for a lot of software. It still can't be used for that. So those things are still on the wish list. There are more schools included. They have raised the cap in terms of who the schools are that could qualify for E-Rate. So there are more schools. However, that, you know, if you talk to a lot of schools, they say we still aren't included. So the good news is there are more schools, a lot more students impacted. There is the money for Wi-Fi. It can be used for that. They are improving the broadband services. The online assessments can be delivered. People that have been paying for VoIP and the telephones at their schools, that can't be used anymore. I know that the FCC is reconsidering that, because there was a hue and cry
right.
that, oh my God, how are we going to pay for this? We have to have it. But that hasn't changed yet.
Okay. Those are some important things to remember, and I know a lot of people were thinking about the E-Rate program and the technology programs. So let's shift over to another topic that comes up frequently as I'm talking to suppliers in the community. I know you hear it too, Jenny. Yes, the United States, the federal government, that's all well and good, but we are a country of states, and for a lot of companies, a lot of people listening, their interest is regional or state level. You know, have reps that call on a particular state. It's like, okay, that's all great. I'm glad to know what's going on in Washington, but what's going on in Texas or what's going on in Florida? Because a lot of the attention, as you know, Jenny, is state specific, and particularly towards the top 20 states, even if you're a company that serves the country, it's like, you know where the action is. It's California, it's Texas, Ohio, New York. It would go down the top 20. So, Jenny, what's at the state level? What's going on?
It's mixed. I'd love to say that all of the states are doing great because the economy is recovering. But remember, education money at the state level is lagging. So a lot of states, the way their funding formula goes, is it's based on what the economy was 3 years ago. And most of our states weren't doing fantastic at that time. So let me give you some examples of good ones. So New York, you guys all have the $2 billion Smart Schools Bond Act that is for technology, and every school district gets money from that. And if you check with your BOCES, if you're a salesperson there, just check with the BOCES. They'll help you. There's on the website of the governor's office, the specific allocations are there. The plans that, of course, in order to get the money, you have to have a plan, which, you know, is usually the case. And so that's a phenomenal opportunity in New York. California, I live in California, and 4 years ago I would have said, do not come to California, do not come to California. We are broke, we, you know, terrible, terrible, terrible. I now say we are flush. The economy's good in California. The money that the state used during the recession, they took away from the schools, the lottery money, is now being replenished to the schools. Over an 8-year period, all of that money is to be reallocated. So this is being delivered to the school districts, and it's called the Local Control Funding Formula. The good thing about it is it's each district's decision of how they want to spend that money. I mean, that's pretty wonderful. So the way you want to work with them is they have to have a local control accountability plan, a LCAP. Look at their plan. See how your product helps them achieve the goals in that plan. Every one of them has them posted on their website. The state also has them, but it's easier to look at the districts themselves. They have the money. Remember, this is above and beyond all of the other programs that are still going on. So California is, the gold is in California, once again. That's a great state. On the other hand, if you look at a state like Virginia, they are really struggling. Colorado, they are really struggling. It's really very regional in terms of what the economy is doing. States to remember are the energy states, Alaska, the Dakotas, Montana. Those states, maybe they aren't as big, but boy, they're easier to sell in. They don't have all the bureaucracy. You can sell pretty fast, and the oil keeps flowing.
And the scenery's beautiful.
And the scenery's beautiful. So don't forget those energy states.
That is some really good advice. I remember selling in some of those states like Oklahoma and Montana and wondering why I was there. But there's actually a nice reception because, as Jenny says, people don't necessarily think about going to the Dakotas or Alaska or New Mexico or some of these places. They're really energy-focused states, and those energy economies are doing really well. So that is great advice, Jenny. So we have to remember, again, do your homework when you're working on your sales and marketing plan. And, you know, a big part of my work is working with companies to focus their, that's the name of my company, Focus Marketing. So focusing your efforts where you can get the best results. And so that's sales plan, not just running roughshod out the door and banging on doors, but thinking about which doors you might knock on and where you might get a welcome instead of, sorry, we don't have any money, which is a perfect segue to the next topic. You know, Jenny, you and I have heard this for years. I remember saying this to my sales manager. And the refrain is, but they don't have any money. So I know a lot of our listeners, they may be sales reps or sales managers or marketing managers or whatever, and they struggle with this, right? You go out, you've got this fabulous solution, a piece of hardware, software, whatever it is, some kind of great professional development service. You go in, all enthusiastic, into the school district, do a presentation, and they say, this is absolutely fantastic, but guess what? We don't have any money. And then you leave feeling pretty dejected and then report into the manager of your company. They love our solution, but they don't have any money. So, Jenny, this is a really important thing. You and I have talked about this for years. You and I have experienced it for years. What is the appropriate action and response when in this kind of a backdrop of the refrain, we don't have any money?
I used to say it when I was in charge of instruction in the school district, Glenn, so I know exactly that they will hear that. I don't care if you're in California or Virginia or New York, you know, you're going to hear this. And you've got to remember that school district offices a lot of times are organized, in fact, most of the time, by the bucket of money that you manage. you don't have a view of other people's money in the district. What you need to be able to do when you go in to call on them is understand what monies they have coming in and that they can commingle different funds to be able to buy your products and services. What you have to be knowledgeable about is what students does that serve? Does it serve your at-risk poverty students in Title I? Does it serve special ed? Does it serve your ELL students? So that you can pull from each of those buckets because it does serve all those different populations. So you've got to do your homework about what the different buckets are that they get in that district and be able to coach them that you might consider using some of these other funds. And it's kind of, you have to remember they don't have the time to be on top of it. And I know you may think you don't, but it's imperative that you do or you're not going to make the sale.
Absolutely. Well, I often counsel my clients and people that I talk to about this issue that part of the solution that you're selling is helping your potential customer understand how they can pay for it. Because these people are really busy. They have, unfortunately, a very reactive day. People are calling with crises. There's all kinds of things going on. School buses breaking down, security breaches, parents calling, all these things. And to try to keep up with all the things Jenny has talked about today, they can't do it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you do it, wow, what a great partner you are. And they will view you differently than someone just going in to sell a bunch of product features and doing a demo.
Right.
So I think this is a really important point. And we can, Jenny says, my comment there is, it is a bit of a shell game. Jenny talks about combining funds and stuff. The fact is, if they're saving money on with E-rate money for wireless, that money that they would have spent is freed up that they could spend on something else if they knew about it.
Exactly.
And so we need to keep conscious of these things and remember that those comments, we don't have the money, is really a myopic comment that Jenny points out. And Jenny, I'm sure you have another sort of thought on this as we start unpacking it.
All right, the one other thing that I want every single one of you to be ready for is the other way they get money is to write grants. Do not write it for them. Remember, in fact, my attorney told me to counsel you, a lot of the federal grants, if you pay to have them written, you have to indicate that in the grant application. And having read a lot of them, I wouldn't give it if your company X and it says that you paid for it and by the way you're getting the money, I probably am not going to give you that grant. So that's one thing. The second thing is you need to have all your information ready to drop into somebody's grant application if they call and they say, hey, you know, give me the information about your product, about your company that has to go in the grant application. Can you get the tax ID right away? Can you get the bios of your execs right away? Have a grants package ready that can be dropped in to an application because they'll usually call you the night before and say that they need it. And if it's already done, vetted by your company, ready to drop in, that's going to get you that money faster.
That is a great bit of advice and a great wrap-up point. Jenny, thank you, thank you, thank you for being on this program. Your advice is always amazing and it's practical, so I know my listeners appreciate that. Thank you for being on my program, and we look forward to having you back in the future.
Thank you for the opportunity, Glenn.
And to all my listeners out there, thanks for taking time from your busy schedule to take stock of what's going on with funding in our schools. It's really an essential part of your job. If you're interested in how to turn this information into sales opportunities, I invite you to get in touch with me. My work is helping educational technology companies exceed their goals. But if getting free tips and practical advice is really what you want, please plan on spending time to dive into the marketing archives and the sales advice on sellingtoschools.com. And definitely subscribe to our free school marketing alerts which will be sent to you automatically into your email box. And remember, you can listen anytime while you're on the go to more of these great recorded podcasts right here on Selling to Schools Radio. Just download them and listen on your mobile device wherever you go. And finally, don't forget about the STS LinkedIn group, where you can meet and discuss your situation and get a lot of great advice from others who are out there trying to make it happen. And speaking of that, make it a great day.